We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Everyone, welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's Thursday. It's December 7th. It is 2023. We are here to talk some football. We got the in-season tournament, what is it, semifinals as well, two-game slate. We're going to skip that and just talk football here for week 14. Joined, as always, for the football podcast by my good buddy, Keith Eister. Eyes819. Keith, it's rainy and windy. Not a great combination for football.
Yeah, there's some low totals out there on this slate. It's not a great one, but if anybody paid attention to our morning grind yesterday for the NBA, and then I was on crunch time today leading up the lock, people should be having some pretty decent days out there in the NBA streets. Joel Embiid was one of my favorite plays. He dropped 50 points. Desmond Bane was another one of my like GPP specialties. He almost had 50 points. And then you called on the podcast yesterday that Caleb Martin was going to have a great game. And man, did he ever, almost 10X from a 5,600 Caleb Martin. So some big scores out there in the NBA streets on Wednesday night.
Yeah. Hopefully everyone's having a good NBA slate. I know that if you did the 5 for 5 with us on Prize Picks, we're right now we're 3 for 3 with a push. So if Zubac hits his rebounds, we'll go 4 for 4. I think that still counts as 10x because when you do a 4 pick, it's, if you do 4 pick, it's 10x. So I assume it's 10x. But either way, we're rooting for Zubac. Did not have a good first quarter, so we'll see how that kind of plays out. Yeah, week 14 football. Kevin Roth put up a early week weather report. We don't typically see a weather report for us on Wednesday, but it is early in the week. We have to respect that. But I mean, I just want to quickly touch on this. There is really cold weather and a lot of wind in the Chicago game. There is big time wind and rain in the Cleveland game. There is some rain that's pushing through early in the Cincinnati, but it's still going to have a 10 to 15 mile an hour wind. It's not as bad as some of the other spots. Jets game, awful. A lot of rain potential, a lot of wind. Baltimore, a lot of wind, a lot of rain. If you're looking at some of the totals this week and you're going, holy crap, there's a 30 total in a football game. The weather in Cleveland does not look good. So that and adding some of the adding in some of the injuries in that game. But I just wanted to touch on it real quick because you have to monitor weather up until Sunday morning when you're building lineups this week. You know, it's not a week that you build a lineup on a Thursday, you're super happy with it, and you're done. You have to be watching the weather all week for NFL. It almost feels like a baseball slate where it's like really got to be kind of watching this weather. We have some indoor games. They don't have some high totals, but I mean, I'm going to be honest with you, Keith, we're going to go through the slate and I've already wrote down a lot what I like on the slate and stuff. And we're going to go through the slate and you're not going to hear a lot from me these first like 6 or 7 games. And then we get to those 4 o'clock games and like, there's a chance this week that like a majority of my players play at 4 o'clock on my main lineup because I mean they're West Coast games, they're dome games. The weather looks way better in these games. Like the East Coast games just look awful weather-wise, and the high totals are coming from the late games on this slate. That's one thing that I wanted to bring up real quick.
Definitely a huge week for late swap. I think you can play some contrarian stuff early. And if you get something right early, like make sure that you have a good amount of chalk in the rest of your lineup. Like it's an ideal way to play this late, in my opinion. Like take some chances on guys in bad weather spots or something like that, low owned plays. And if you hit one of those, then you can just stack up all of the best plays in the rest of the lineup. Because that's the key, is hitting one or two of those sub 10% guys. And then you get the stack that goes off late and you're cooking for sure. So definitely be paying attention to late swap. And same thing, like if you have a chalky guy that fails early, don't be afraid to get a little bit weird in these late games, because there's going to be a good amount of chalk in late games. I think most people are playing a pretty backloaded slate here.
Shout out to you. You crushed the morning grind game last week. I absolutely did not. I have a lot of work to do this week. So shout out to you. I had a really bad week in DFS. My team was actually really solid and it just wasn't enough. Like, I mean, that's at the end of the day, like it was like borderline everywhere. Like it was like really close to cashing everywhere and just ended up getting steamrolled by Purdy, like Debo combos like everywhere last week. So Zach Moss chalk failed. Hey, Jonathan Mingo, you know,
that was a nice call.
He had a big game again, 6 for 69 at 3,300. He was low owned too. He was one of the guys that definitely kept me in the running. My boy Tyreek and the Dolphins just continue to do their thing. Luckily, we don't have to worry about them on the main slate. We do have a 2 Monday night football type game. So let's get into it and talk some football here. For week 14, we got Tampa Bay at Atlanta, 39.5 total in this game. Atlanta, 1.5 point favorite. Actually bet Tampa +3 earlier this morning. Glad to see the line move in my favor already. Let's go to the Bucs side here first. One of the games that are indoors, you know, we get to that point of the year, and this is that time of the year where, like, all right, we at least got to circle games that are indoors. Not worried about weather in this one. Atlanta's pass defense is not great. Their run defense is solid. Rashard White is definitely a high-volume running back that stays on the field. Mike Evans is having another fantastic season. Just continues to be the guy in this offense coming off of another 12-target game. Like, that's 4 really good games in a row for Mike Evans. What are your thoughts here on Tampa Bay?
Yeah, this being one of the games indoors in the dome, I think this is where we take some shots. So, like, I know Baker Mayfield is not a comfortable click, but when you know where the ball's going in this offense, Mike Evans is the primary guy. So I will have some Baker to Mike Evans stacks. I think you can include Kate Otten in that as well. Atlanta has not been great against tight ends. Kate Otten is 3,100. So I have a little bit of interest in that Baker double stack. And then Rashad White is interesting to me. It's not a good matchup for him, like you mentioned, but his role is phenomenal. Like among the best in the entire league. He's capable out of the backfield catching passes as well. So if they're not able to run the ball, like he may just get 5 or 6 catches out of the backfield, which on DraftKings, that's really solid. That adds to the floor, helps the ceiling as well. If he finds the end zone, the price is coming up to almost an uncomfortable level, but you have to consider the role and being indoors here. I think that I'm going to have quite a bit of exposure on this Tampa Bay side. Like Godwin, I'm not sure I'm getting to. Like, just he just doesn't have it anywhere near the upside of Evans. The price gap is widening with Evans all the way up to 7,700 and Godwin down at 6K. So I wouldn't fault anybody for trying to take some shots on Godwin. I just feel like Evans has so much more touchdown equity, just so much more big play ability that Evans is still the guy that I want to target. I don't hate shots on a guy like Trey Palmer if you're trying to find a cheap wide receiver, but it's primarily Evans as my target here. I think you can sprinkle in some Otten and maybe even some Rashad White as well.
Yeah, I think White more on DraftKings than on FanDuel because FanDuel, the half point PPR, $7,400 price tag, it's tough to get White in over there. So I think White is someone I play, you know, definitely play him on DraftKings. Like, we have a perfect example. Week 11, he had 9 carries for 30 yards and a touchdown. He had 6 catches for 28. He had 17.8 fantasy points against San Francisco. San Francisco, one of the best run defenses in the NFL. So the fact that this game's inside with his role, definitely in play. Evans is the main target here for me. I don't mind Baker. You know, we don't have a lot of cheap quarterback plays. The one thing that I will say about Baker is we do have some guys that I like a little bit more expensive than him. Baker is not necessarily a ceiling guy. Like, he's a guy that can get you 19 to like 23. Might be okay on this slate, but we got to remember, we got a Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes matchup here on this slate. We got Brock Purdy going up against Seattle. We have some good quarterback options that we're going to talk about in that 4 o'clock window. Atlanta side, I don't know what to do with this team. I mean, they don't know what to do with this team. One catch last week by an Atlanta wide receiver. Drake London had one catch, and he was the only wide receiver to get a catch. I'm going back to the well on Drake London. He's 4,600 primo matchup. When we're looking at matchups, Tampa pass defense is awful. Fourth most passing yards per game. Fourth most passing yards over the last 5 games. They're not a good pass defense. They have to get Drake London involved in this. This game matters. Like, this is a game that matters for both of these teams. And I mean, at this price point, Drake London's just too cheap.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely like him as a run back on Tampa Bay stuff. I am really worried about the quarterback play. Like, Desmond Ridder is just, he's not a good quarterback. But I totally hear you. Even though he only had one catch, he did have 5 targets again. He's clearly the top target in the offense. 4,600, like, this was a first round pick. Like, he's talented. If the quarterback could just get him the ball, I'd be excited about this, but it's indoors. I'm with you. I'm taking some shots on Drake London. I'm probably taking some shots on the tight ends again, just because they're cheap. They're indoors. I'm looking for run backs on the Tampa Bay stuff. Like, this is a game that I want to target pretty heavily. None of it is comfortable on this Atlanta side, but Kyle Pitts and Jonnu Smith in play again. And then we have to talk about Bijan's role. It's continued to be great for the third week in a row. Yeah. 18 carries, 5 targets. Like, that is exactly what we've been hoping for Bijan. Awful rushing matchup, but if they get him involved out of the backfield in the passing game, I think he could find some ceiling that way. So I have interest in Bijan as well.
And his snap count, the way that it is right now, you're playing him finally as like a lead guy. And like, he's 6,500 on DraftKings. It's a good price point. He's in that same price range as White on FanDuel. I think he's okay over there. There are some like cheaper options, and there's guys that are a little bit more expensive than him that I like. Like Austin Eckler, I'm just going to throw the cat out of the bag. Austin Eckler, 7,500 on FanDuel this week. He's like $1,000 to $1,500 too cheap on FanDuel this week. He's had a couple bad games here. Gets one of the best matchups in the NFL against Denver. We're going to talk about it. He's been awful, but he's had some terrible matchups. He's too cheap. So when I'm in this price range, he's like my first go-to thought process type guy on FanDuel. So I like Bijan on DK. Again, you know, getting those extra catches out of the backfield. You need Bijan to score a touchdown. I mean, you have to get that touchdown from him. I don't think I play either quarterback in this game. like on main teams, maybe in like a 20 inch or max, I build a couple of Baker stacks just because of the game being indoors. But overall, I think this is a game you're just looking at pieces. Evans, London, White, Bijan, Pitts, all those guys I think are in play. And I mean, yeah, that's what I'm kind of looking at here for this one. Atlanta defense, you talked about them last week. They smashed last week. They had a great game against the Jets. Jets so bad. So bad.
Yeah, anyway. I mean, with Boyle at quarterback, that was a they ended up really chalky, which it's hard to figure out what defense ownership is going to be when we talk about it this early in the week. But yeah, I mean, they were an awesome play for sure.
All right, we got Carolina at New Orleans, 37.5 total in this game. New Orleans, a 5.5-point favorite. Another game inside, you know, not the greatest game in the world, but a game matter. Like, these NFC South is so bad again this year. Like, the Falcons are leading the division at 6-6, and Bucks and Saints are both 5-7. Like, this division's so bad that you're bad and you could still win the division. So, I mean, you're not getting a wild card out of this division. So, let's talk Carolina first. Tough matchup overall. The one thing I want to point out here is the same thing that we talked about last week. The Saints cannot stop the run right now. They have really struggled. Hubbard had 25 carries last week. So as someone that took Bryce Young's like passing prop, and it failed miserably because of the interception late in the game, it really failed way before that. Hubbard just, he looked great in a really tough matchup. I think he's a phenomenal play, and I think Miles Sanders is just a thing of the past right now. It's Hubbard's backfield. I don't know, outside of that, what I really want to target here. I'll probably play a little bit more Jonathan Mingo. He's still 3,500. He's clearly moved into a role. We talked about it last week. Now, this is four straight games with at least six targets. He's Bryce Young's guy. It's not Thielen. It was Thielen at the beginning of the season, but the upside is definitely Jonathan Mingo. What are your thoughts here on Carolina?
I am completely with you on the Chuba Hubbard stuff. Like, I ended up playing some Bryce Young as well last week. Like, I was just trying to find a way to fit in as much McCaffrey and Tyreek as I could. And that ended up being a solid way to go to approach the slate. But Bryce Young just didn't quite get it done. But I too noticed the extreme shift in the rushing workload. Chuba Hubbard might be a league back right now. We talked about the coaching changes. They fired their head coach last week, and we thought there could potentially be some usage changes here. And the biggest usage change that stood out was Chuba Hubbard's workload. He's only 5,600. This New Orleans defense is really banged up. We talked about it a lot last week. I love this spot for Chuba Hubbard. Another indoor game where I'm looking to get some exposure here. I think that's an important key to this slate with the weather the way that it is. I don't trust Bryce Young, but I do trust Chuba Hubbard's workload. And at 5,600, I'm going to have a bunch of him. He didn't get any work out of the pass in the passing game, so that's a little bit of a concern here if they play from far behind. Like, they were able to keep that game with Tampa Bay pretty close, and that allowed Chuba to get a big workload. So no passing game work was a little concerning. Maybe Miles Sanders is just the guy they look at as the passing down back in this spot. But I mean, at 5,600, if he's going to get anywhere near, like, I don't need 25 carries, like 16 to 18 carries, I'm perfectly fine playing Chuba in the spot. Agree with the Mingo call. Thielen probably a little too expensive to want to target here, but Mingo's role seems to be growing. I like that call a lot. Tight end situation is still a mess. Hayden Hurst trying to work his way back, but wouldn't touch it anyway.
Yeah, I think the only thing that even remotely playable in this pass offense right now is Mingo. And it's just his price, you know, 6-7 targets at 3,500, one big play, and you're off to the races. So, I mean, that's the reason that I have interest in Mingo. Like, Thielen, if Thielen was like 5K, sure, take some shots. But, I mean, yeah, I think Hubbard's the play here. And, I mean, I think we have to get to the point where we're respecting the Carolina defense a little bit. They are not like a great DVOA and like statistical team, but you look at their numbers, they're allowing 192 passing yards per game. They've just kind of shut down the pass. They've tried to control the clock. They're not playing really fast, and I don't know if New Orleans is really going to, like, blow them out in this game and, like, quickly get up, like, three touchdowns. So I think Hubbard is a great play. On the New Orleans side, Derek Carr, concussion protocol, shoulder injury, rib injury. Mike Thomas calling him out for getting wide receivers hurt during the game. Like, during the game. wild. So we don't know if it's going to be Carr or Winston. I don't know if it matters too much for me, to be honest. I like Kamara in this spot. I think that 8,200 for a guy up against Carolina's pass defense is well worth that price tag. Taysom Hill's banged up right now. He didn't practice on Wednesday. He's done this a couple times this year and still played through the injury. If he were to sit, it's a huge upgrade to Kamara. Huge upgrade to Kamara. I like Olave. The price is tough. The upside is there. This guy, he's just running so many deep routes right now. And whether it be Carr or Winston, I don't think that's going to change. I'm interested to hear your thoughts on Olave at 7K.
Yeah, I mean, you have to have interest with the role that he's had, the air yards that he's had. I think I would prefer if Winston were the quarterback for him. I just think Winston has
it. He's going to chuck it.
He's going to take 4, 5, 6 shots downfield to Olave. So I'm interested either way. I agree. The Carolina pass defense is pretty decent. But Olave, I think he's just a stud and he can win in any matchup. It's the quarterback play that's the problem. And I think Winston is able to deliver the deep ball a little bit better than a banged up Derek Carr would be able to. So I'm kind of hoping for Winston in this spot, but I'll have some Olave shares either way. He ended up really popular last week, which, I mean, I he was on the injury report all week long and it wasn't even sure he was going to play until Sunday morning, but people jumped on him late, which maybe that happens again. And I wouldn't have a ton of interest if he's popular, but man, like, you have to love the upside is what I'm getting at in the dome. As long as he's low owned, I'm going to be on that. I like the Kamara call better, to be honest. Like, we saw just a great role. Taysom Hill being banged up would just raise his touchdown equity so much. Like, be a huge boost to Kamara. Their wide receiver core is still banged up as well. Not sure Shaheed's going to play in this game. So, like Kamara's going to be involved in the passing game. It's one of the best rushing matchups in the entire league. Carolina's rushing defense has not been good. So Kamara would be my preferred play, but I like the Olave stuff. I love that he's getting targeted well down the field. I'm not confident that the quarterback can get him the ball down the field is the biggest issue.
Yeah, I mean, catchable target rate is 68%. That's 69th in the NFL for wide receivers. He leads the NFL in air yards at 1,417. So, I mean, yeah, obviously it has a lot to do, but, like, he's averaging 2.5 deep targets per game. So, I mean, the ceiling is massive. If you just look at, like, the advanced numbers for him, the ceiling is massive. You look at the expected points per game and stuff like that, and, like, he's a top 10 wide receiver. It's just he has Derek Carr throwing the football to him. I mean, and no hate on Derek Carr. Like, he's gotten it done for years for us. It's just Olave is extremely talented. He's going to have a fantastic career. Either one playing quarterback, I like it. But Kamara, I know he's expensive, but he might be one of the spend ups. I think we're going to have some value throughout the slate. Olave would be incredible on Kansas City. I agree, Derek. That would be phenomenal to watch. That will never happen. Maybe. All right. Detroit at Chicago. This game opened at 42.5. It's actually been bet up to 43.5. It looks like the weather is going to be a little bit better in this game than, like, it looked like yesterday. It's still going to be a little bit windy, but the fact that we're seeing the total rise in this game, I think, is a good sign. Let's start with the Lions here. What do you like here for Detroit?
Yeah, I mean, traveling outdoors is always a problem for Jared Goff. So I'm a little bit down on this Detroit offense here. Like, Detroit's the better team. I don't have any doubt about that, but I am a little bit concerned about their production in this game. The Chicago run defense has been really stout, and, like, I have concerns about Jared Goff on the road outdoors in the cold. So it's a little bit tricky for me to figure out how Detroit is going to put up a ton of points here on Chicago. So I do like this game to stay fairly close. I feel like even as good as Chicago's run defense has been, I still want to target running backs here. Like, I just feel like Detroit's going to play with the lead. Their lack of production allowed is the biggest concern, because I would love Montgomery and Gibbs both in this spot if it weren't such, just like, I think being outdoors, Detroit leans a little bit more run heavy anyway. It's a little bit of a scary thought, though, because of how good Chicago's run defense has been. But I think Gibbs and Montgomery are my primary targets here. We talked about Montgomery a little bit last week, and the role is not going anywhere. Another 18 carries for him. I think he's the way I'm playing this Detroit side here. Just give me some David Montgomery. He's probably not going to be efficient, but I could see him getting 20 carries in this spot. If he finds the end zone twice, that's going to be a decent play. Amon-Ra at 8,200, definitely in play. Laporta has been just amazing this year, but he's up to 6,100. That's like, we're getting up to like elite tight end levels, and he's been really good this season. The Bears have struggled against tight ends as well. Laporta's probably my favorite passing game target, but man, I just have concerns about the Detroit passing game. Chicago's defense has been getting much better as the season went along. The run defense has been good all year long, but the pass defense is starting to come around a little bit too. So just not in love with this Detroit side. It's Montgomery for me, I think, if I'm picking somebody here.
Yeah, Kelsey's 7,800. Laporta's 61. Yeah. Hawkinson's 6K. Kittle's 59. Like, so they're all in this like top end tier. Like, I mean, he's a top tier tight end. You could put him up there with all four of those guys. So, and if it's going to be a little bit windy, maybe Laporta gets a little bit more involved in the passing game. I don't know if that's even possible with how involved he's been in the passing game. He's been great. Like, he's been consistent. He has upside. Price tag's tough. The one thing in my research that I noticed about the Chicago Bears run defense, they've been really solid. Like you mentioned, they've been getting shredded by pass catching running backs this season. I think Jahmyr Gibbs could go bonkers in this game if they get him that like 6 to 8 targets. If I'm seeing it as a DFS like analyst, I know somebody in the Detroit Lions organization is seeing like, you know, screens, quick dump offs. It's working. And like, that's, they don't want to use Montgomery for that role. So I think Gibbs could have a big week. He's a guy that I want to get some tournament exposure to. And like, he went for 6 catches, 59 yards in week 11 against the same team. So they obviously saw it. If he can do something like that and score a touchdown again, like, he has a lot of upside here at 6,600. So I like Montgomery. I was very tilted last week when he didn't get his rushing prop, when he was at like 40 yards at halftime and they just didn't get him any second half carries until the end of the game, when they're like, hey, go out there and the whole defense is going to try to stop you because, you know, you're trying to ice the game. I wasn't tilted at all, but I like Gibbs this week over Montgomery. Say Brown's expensive. You could definitely take some shots on him. Jameson Williams is getting on the field more. This guy is extremely talented. He's 3,500. I don't think this is the game, but when we get back in Detroit and we can take advantage of being inside, Jameson Williams is someone we're going to be taking some shots on.
Totally agree.
Chicago side of this game, I don't know what to do here with Justin Fields. Do they want to win games? What are they doing? I mean, they're 4-8. They're basically out of the NFC North. I don't think they can make a run now to even make a wild card spot. Are they evaluating Fields? They let him throw 37 times against Minnesota last week, and they won that game 12-10. I think you could take some shots here on DJ Moore at 6,500 and Cole Kmet at 4,300. But I don't know if I'd necessarily want to take too many shots on Fields. He did run a lot again last week. That's two games in a row he's run a lot. The last time these two teams played, he ran 18 times for 104 yards. Maybe we take shots on Fields, but I think we're going to find better options in this price range.
I have more interest in Justin Fields than you do, and not necessarily because of the passing game work, but it's the rushing upside that you just mentioned there. Yeah. Over 100 yards last time against this Detroit offense or defense. Like, if the weather is bad, like, Chicago's going to want to run the ball. Detroit's run defense has been pretty solid, so it's not like I'm wanting to target a running back here. So Justin Fields, I think, is very much in play here. I wouldn't double stack him necessarily. I don't think the passing game has a ton of upside. But DJ Moore at 6,500, I am very interested in. I like the Cole Kmet call as well at 4,300. That's more of a touchdown equity thing. So I think the way that Fields hits his ceiling is Moore takes a couple of short passes and run and gets the yards after catch and scores touchdowns that way. And then Fields runs in a couple as well. So I do prefer Moore over Kmet if I'm picking a stacking partner. I think you can play Justin Fields naked in this spot as well, because there are very few people who have 100 rushing yard upside at the quarterback position. Lamar Jackson is certainly one of them that we're going to talk about in another weather game. But Justin Fields, I think his rushing upside in this spot is tremendous.
Yeah, I think DJ Moore is someone that is like a great pairing. Like, they're obviously letting Fields throw more, and DJ Moore has been his guy all year. Like, when Fields has been healthy on the field, DJ Moore has been his guy. And we've seen 30-plus fantasy points from him, what, two or three times this year? Like, I know he had a monster game on – it was a standalone game yep. against Washington. So, yeah, I mean, I wasn't poo-pooing on Fields. Just the price range is tough. Purdy's in this price range. You can go up a little bit to Herbert. I think Fields is okay. Detroit's defense has been a lot worse here recently. They started the season fantastic, but they have been a lot worse recently. I think they were playing a little bit above their heads to start the year.
Yeah, I think that like their strength of schedule to begin the season was extremely soft. So yeah. Good points there.
Jacksonville, Cleveland, 30.5 total. Not a typo. bad weather in this game. Really cold, windy, rainy. Awful football weather. Cleveland's a 3-point favorite. It sounds like it's going to be C.J. Beathard. It does not sound like Trevor Lawrence is going to be ready for this game. I mean, anybody that watched the game the other night, he tried to stand up and couldn't stand up and punch the ground. Yeah. That high ankle sprain. I think he's very fortunate that's a high ankle sprain only. It was bad. It went under him. It got wrapped up. So it sounds like Beathard's going to play. Beathard got banged up too. He's dealing with like a little left shoulder injury. I don't even know who their third quarterback is. It'd probably be somebody off the practice squad or somebody signed off the street. No joke. I'm not even joking. So let's start with this situation. Obviously, a ton of talent in this Jacksonville offense. We saw that the other night. Beathard came in. He threw 9 for 10, 63 yards. There's a ton of talent around him. We know Christian Kirk's not going to play in this game. He's already ruled out. Ridley's still there. Zay Jones, he's banged up. ETN's banged up. I almost feel like Jacksonville just needs to sit a bunch of guys this week and go play week 15 against Baltimore. And like, just say, hey, you know, we're in a good spot for the playoffs. We're going to just punt this terrible weather Cleveland game. I don't think it actually happened. Honestly, I have a ton of interest in the Cleveland defense here. If it's going to be Beathard at quarterback, I just there's nothing I really want on the Jacksonville side in crappy weather. You could make a case for me to play ETN if he was 100%, but watching him play, he's coming off the field a lot right now.
Yeah, ETN's role is definitely declining. The quarterback situation makes it really difficult to want to target anybody in bad weather against a really good Cleveland defense. Evan Ingram finally end zone, had another nine targets.
He had a gazillion targets from Beathard when he came in the game.
Yes. I think Evan Ingram is like, if you're looking for anybody in this game, Evan Ingram is the name I would throw out there outside of the defenses. Like even Jacksonville's defense is in play. I think, I do prefer the Cleveland defense, but Jacksonville's defense in play as well. I don't want to take shots on ETN. I think I'd rather just hope that he, like, Dearness Johnson is the guy who's been kind of cutting into the work a little bit. He's 4,700. I don't hate that as like a punt type running back in a game where I think there's going to be a lot of carries in this game on both sides with bad weather and bad quarterbacks, but there's nothing really to like here. It's a bad matchup. It's bad weather and it's bad quarterbacks. So Ingram, if I'm picking anybody on the Jacksonville side, I will note that Zay Jones is priced at 3,700. Like, Zay Jones is a better receiver than 3,700, but this is just not the spot that I want to try to exploit that.
Cleveland side of this game, and I'm with you. I like both defenses. I like the Jacksonville defense in this game as well. I was so tilted last week that like Harrison Bryant had like this crazy roll out of nowhere. Amari Cooper got a concussion last week. He did not practice on Wednesday. We'll follow along with that. We haven't heard exactly whether it's going to be DTR or Joe Flacco. I mean, Flacco did take first team reps Wednesday, but DTR is technically still in concussion protocol. So we'll wait and see what happens there. Honestly, I don't think it matters too much for me. I don't necessarily want to target a lot here. I really got nothing. Maybe Elijah Moore because he's cheap and had a gazillion targets.
Yeah, Elijah Moore is the one guy I definitely wanted to talk about. I actually played quite a bit of him last week. Ran pretty hot with the Amari Cooper injury from a target standpoint, but he just, like Joe Flacco was throwing him the ball, so he only had four catches. He should have had a much, much bigger game. I actually was in first place in a late afternoon only tournament with Moore, and I fell into second when the Rams got that late safety. If Moore would have caught that the target that he got before that, I would have taken down the tournament. So that was frustrating. But I think you can go right back to Elijah Moore. Like, the quarterback play isn't going to be great, but his targets are generally around the line of scrimmage. He did see a little bit more downfield stuff last week, which maybe that's better for his ceiling. With if Flacco is in there, maybe he gets more downfield stuff again. But the reason I have more interest in a pass catcher here is because this Jacksonville defense has been funneling, like they've been really good against the run and pretty bad against the pass. So like if Cooper doesn't play, I love Elijah Moore. If Cooper is in there, I still think you can take shots on Elijah Moore. Like the Njoku losing work to Bryant was a little bit rough, but Moore's role has been pretty solid here. I like the price tag. I don't love this game, but Elijah Moore, I think the role is solid even with Cooper in there. I'm going back to him.
I will say if like DTR ends up starting this game, he's very locked in on Njoku. I would bump up Njoku if DTR starts this game. So Flacco, I'm with you on Elijah Moore, but if it's DTR, I think it's going to be Njoku. So it's really just who's starting a quarterback for me on the Cleveland side. They're cheap enough where like even in bad weather, like check down options are definitely going to be a thing. Like you said, they've been shutting down the run. If Kareem Hunt wasn't 48 and he was like 42, maybe you could take some shots on him, but out of the passing game. But moving on, that game stinks. We got Indianapolis at Cincinnati, 43.5 total here. Colts a 1.5-point favorite. Slight interest in this game. Cincinnati Bengals looked really good last week. The Jake weather Browning, is. Man.
Yeah. Jake Browning played awesome last week.
When you have Joe Mixon, T. Higgins, Jamar Chase. Tyler yeah. Boyd, like it helps, okay? It helps.
Indeed.
And a coach that's going to believe in you and like let you go do your thing kind of thing. Anyway, so Kevin Ross weather report on this game says that the rain, again, this is a Wednesday weather report. The rain should clear before the game. Winds 10 to 15, low impact. But he says it definitely deserves a little bit of yellow. This could be a game when Sunday rolls around, weather's cleared out, winds are going to be 10 to 15. 10 to 15 mile an hour winds not going to affect me as much as, you know, some of these games that have to 25 to 30 mile an hour gusts. If that's the case, Michael Pittman has been fantastic. His role is just absolutely incredible right now. And he's getting a slight increase every week in price, but he's still not like an $8,500 price wide receiver. And he has double-digit targets in five of the last seven games. He coming off of another 11 catch game. Like, his role is just phenomenal. And Jonathan Taylor's out again. Zach Moss burned the world last week at 4,600. Cincinnati is not great against the run. I definitely don't mind going back here to Zach Moss. He's still cheap enough. Like, DraftKings priced him up. I think FanDuel left him priced down. I could be wrong. I think he was still somewhat cheap on FanDuel. What are your thoughts here on the Colts?
Yeah, I'm paying very close attention to the weather in this game, because if there were no weather in this game, it would be one of my favorite of the entire week. Indianapolis yeah. plays really fast. We know where the volume is going. Pittman has had an awesome role. Jonathan Taylor out again. Zach Moss has had a phenomenal role every time Jonathan Taylor has missed a week. So like those are two of my top targets on the entire slate. Assuming that the weather holds, I'm playing Zach Moss either way. Hopefully people jump off after getting burnt by him last week, but like he just wasn't efficient. He still had 19 carries, a couple of targets out of the backfield, three targets. Like we know what this role is without Jonathan Taylor. It's phenomenal. It's one of the best in the NFL. So I'm going right back to Zach Moss. I think he can have a more efficient game. We talked about the matchup not being great last week against Tennessee. It's a much better matchup in this spot. It reminds me a lot of the Devin Singletary situation earlier this year where he was massive chalk against Tennessee and failed. And then the next week he just exploded for a huge game. I forget who he played, but like it's a very similar situation. Like Zach Moss, yes, the price has come up, but this is a better spot for Zach Moss. We know the role is going to be phenomenal. So I'm targeting Zach Moss a ton. I want some Colts pass catchers as well. I think Minshew is a capable quarterback. I don't know that I necessarily need to play him, but Pittman at 7,300 with his role, like double-digit targets is a guarantee basically. And then Josh Downs is still really cheap. Didn't see much out of him last week, unfortunately. He was one of the things I got wrong. It's because Alec Pierce stepped up and had a phenomenal game. Alec Pierce's role has been growing. He's still 3,700. I think you can take some shots on Alec Pierce here as well. Despite Downs' bad game last week, I still have interest there just because the role has been so good leading up to this week. But I think all three of those pass catchers are in play here.
Yeah, love the Alec Pierce call. Potentially almost had two touchdowns in that game. He had the one long touchdown. He was really close to having a second touchdown. Yeah, I mean, I don't think I want to play Minshew. He's cheap, and I love cheap quarterbacks, don't get me wrong. He's going to rely completely on passing. He hasn't been running. But don't look now. Like, the Colts have won four straight games. They're 7-5. They're very relevant right now in the playoff race. Like, Gardner Minshew is, like, reviving his career in Indianapolis this year. I mean, this guy might start somewhere next year with Richardson back here for the Colts. So, good for Gardner Minshew doing his thing. The cheap quarterback that I like is on the other side of this game. Jake Browning with these targets around him and the Cincinnati Bengals just believing, I don't think he's going to go out and score 30 fantasy points again. But, man, like when you have guys like Chase and Higgins to make plays for you, Tyler Boyd, like how do you not like this guy? And, like, how do you not like Jamar Chase at 7,600? Like the price point. Like, what are we doing with this price point? I know the Colts defense has been solid. Give me some Jamar Chase here at 7,600.
I'm so with you. When I saw that price, I was like, you've got to be kidding me. He had 12 targets last week and scored 34 DraftKings points, and his price goes down? Like, he went from 7,900 to 7,600. I know the quarterback, like, we didn't think it was a great quarterback situation, but Jake Browning looked legitimately capable last week. It's not like it wasn't even just short stuff. He was making great decisions. He was moving around in the pocket. Like he's a mobile guy. He can extend the play very similar to what Joe Burrow does in this offense and why he has success when he's healthy. Jake Browning, I love him at 5,200. Jamar Chase is at least 1,000 underpriced. Like just give me those two.
I think Mixon is underpriced too, to be honest, Keith. Like, his role has jumped with Browning at quarterback.
I will note that Chase Brown outcarried Joe Mixon in the first half of that game. I don't know what that was, but I know that was a Thursday night game or something, Sunday night maybe.
He had a couple really good runs, though. Like, really good runs. And I don't know, was it a momentum thing? He got hurt, didn't he?
Yeah, he's listed as questionable, I believe, with a hamstring injury. So if Chase Brown is out, then I'm with you completely on the Joe Mixon stuff. But Chase Brown has been dealing with injuries all year long, and it's really the first week he's been healthy. They clearly wanted to get him involved early. I don't know. I'm a little – like the one thing I will say, and I agree with completely, is Mixon's pass-catching role looked awesome with Chase. If they're willing to run Chase Brown on first and second down – and use Mixon in that passing game role, which early in his career he was very successful with, and then they kind of went away from it because they were overusing him and running him into the ground. Like, if Mixon has that pass-catching upside back, then I'm totally back in on Joe Mixon.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, and like I think Mixon's going to end up like projecting well on this slate, and I don't know if I could necessarily argue with it. The price is right. The matchup is good. If weather's a little bit of a concern with like this game overall, like Mixon probably benefits from like a rainier, windier game. But I really hope this game stays okay weather-wise. I really wish this game was in Indy. This would be my favorite game on the slate if this game was played in Indy.
Yeah.
It would be. And like it's just pricing. Ja'Marr Chase is too cheap. Pittman's too cheap. I mean, that's going to be a combo I use a lot, to be honest, a lot.
I've got to throw Tanner Hudson's name out there, too, because the role is not going anywhere. He's 2,800. Dude's had four targets in the last one, two, three, four, five straight games. If he ever found the end zone, like, I'd take the 12 to 14 DraftKings points at 2,800 for sure at tight end.
You might be playing catch-up at tight end this week if you only get 12 to 14.
Yeah, that might be fair.
Kansas
double
City
tight
Buffalo.
Double tight end is the new thing. Like everybody's winning tournaments with double tight end now.
Well, that's because some of the tight ends are like putting up wide receiver numbers. Yeah. And like then you're getting your cheap tight end play to put up tight end numbers. So
yep,
we've talked about that a ton this year. I know I've talked about it a lot in the afternoon expert survey if anybody ever reads that. All right. We got Houston at New York. Facing the Jets, 32.5 total here. Houston, 3.5-point favorite. This weather looks awful in this game. It's really early in the week, but this looks like one of the worst games for weather. Seeing, like, Houston have an 18 implied team total definitely suggests, like, the books are projecting bad weather here. Hate to see Tank Dell go down out for the season. Houston has a bright, bright, bright future. We wish nothing but the best for Tank Dell. It was on a blocking, like, one-yard goal line carry. And it's like, you just hate to see that.
So brutal.
Freak accident. I, as much as I've been playing Houston, going up against this tough Jets defense, splitting the carries at running back, I mean, sure, if the weather is a little bit better, you could take some shots here on Nico Collins, Noah Brown, Dalton Schultz. But if the weather's going to be crappy, I'll probably play a lot of the Jets defense here.
Yeah, it's a bad situation. Houston is definitely one of the up-and-coming teams in the NFL. Their core that they've built there, it looks outstanding. Like, shout-out to D'Amico Ryans for what he's done with them as well. Looks like a really solid hire there in Houston. They drafted outstanding. Bright future, but the Tank
Dell injury. They won the draft, let's just say. They won the draft.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Yeah. I don't know. Like, I don't think I can do it against this Jets defense. If Noah Brown was cheaper, I would have a ton of interest there. We've seen him pop off for big games, but DraftKings appropriately priced him up to 5K. So probably don't need to do it in this tough matchup. Nico Collins smashed last week with the Tank Dell injury. Like, we're going to be playing these guys again very soon. I just don't think that this is the week. Tough spot outdoors in bad weather against a good defense. I'm probably looking at running backs here if I'm targeting anything. And it's not because I don't believe in the passing game. It's just it's a really difficult matchup in bad weather. So what to do with the running backs, I think, is the biggest discussion here. And it's lukewarm at best with Damian Pierce getting back involved.
All right, let's go to the Jets side. Breece Hall dealing with an ankle injury. He missed practice Wednesday. Dalvin Cook got more involved last week. I want nothing to do with the Jets. I like the Houston defense. I like both defenses in this game, and that's probably it. You know, my script, I'll script some defense play in this game, and then I'll be done. I want nothing to do with this game offensively.
Yeah, I'm with you. I would have interest in Breece Hall if I knew he was healthy. 6,200, like the role has been okay. It's not as good as you would want it to be. Like you said, Dalvin Cook has been getting a little bit more involved. I think maybe part of that last week was because Breece Hall missed some time on the sidelines with that injury. I still feel like Breece Hall is very clearly the lead back here, but I don't know. 6,200. I probably still take some shots on Breece Hall. I know like the biggest concern is the efficiency of the offense because of the quarterback play. Like they're just not going to get down in the red zone to give Breece Hall an opportunity to rush in touchdowns very often. So Zach Wilson moving back into the starting quarterback role. that doesn't feel great. I just have concerns about them being able to get anywhere near the red zone.
Yes. I agree.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's Zach Wilson. He's going to get sacked a lot in this game. Houston's defense is going to put a lot of pressure on him. I mean, the Jets defense is 2,900 in this game. It's a fantastic price. I think they're going to get a lot of ownership if the weather stays bad in this game. Them and Cleveland, like Cleveland and the Jets defense, we have two potential like mid bottom ish price defenses that are going to smash this week.
Yep.
All right, let's talk about this other weather game. We got Rams and Ravens, 40.5 total here. Baltimore, 7.5-point favorite. This is the other game that Kevin Roth had, bright orange. windy, wet, ugly stuff, basically, to sum up Kevin Roth's thoughts here. We'll go to the Rams first. Puka, man, what a game from Puka. Last week, just a phenomenal game overall. Dealing with a shoulder neck stinger is, from what I've read, is what's going on with Puka, like play through the pain type of thing. We've just seen Cooper Kupp disappear. The price is so enticing on Cooper Kupp. If he didn't score a touchdown last week, he really wouldn't have done anything. Williams' role is fantastic. He's going to stay on the field. He's on McVay's fantasy team, so McVay wants to get him going. That cracked me up when I saw that. What are your thoughts here on the Rams?
Yeah, I mean, tough matchup against Baltimore here. Weather as well. The role for Kyren Williams has been awesome, like you said, but price tag is up there at 7,300. Really tough Baltimore run defense on the other side. Don't think I want to do it. Love what we've seen from Puka Nacua, but, man, how many injuries is too many injuries? Like, he was dealing with injuries early in the season, and now he's banged up again. Like, I don't know. The role looks incredible. It looks like he's overtaken Cooper Kupp as like the focal point of this Rams offense. And we know that's a super valuable role with Sean McVay scheming plays to you, but I don't think this is a spot to do it. I do have interest in Lamar on the other side. So like considering run backs, I'm trying to, but like there's nobody cheap here. Everybody's priced up is the biggest problem. You could argue that Cooper Kupp is underpriced, but the role that we've seen out of him the last few weeks doesn't suggest that. Like if Puka is healthy, I feel like he would be my target over Cooper Kupp, but the uncertainty and the weather adds in even more risk factor here. So I'm not sure I'm doing it, but I do have interest in the Baltimore, the Lamar side, I should say. I'm not even interested in Baltimore pass catchers, but Lamar, I think, is in play. So whether you just don't run it back with anybody and you play Lamar naked is might be the way I play this game.
I think my favorite run back is Williams. Like his role is just phenomenal. In a windy game, we could see like 10 targets for Williams, like check down Williams. And like his big play ability like gives him so much ceiling in this type of scenario. So I think Williams would be my favorite run back. Flip a coin on Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua. If Higbee plays, this could be a check down type game with the wind. So I don't necessarily hate him. Baltimore side, love Lamar. love Lamar. His upside should be rushing upside in this game should be phenomenal. We might see him get 15 plus carries in this game. Outside of him, I mean, if you're not playing Lamar, I think you could take some shots on Mitchell at 4,900. He's cheap. I know the running back, he's not going to be the guy that's getting like the goal line carries, but you're playing him for like that 30-yard touchdown run. Edwards could get 3 rushing touchdowns in this game. Probably more of a play on FanDuel if you're going to take shots, but overall, it's more of the running backs. Maybe some Isaiah Likely, but it's the running backs and Lamar this week for me.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I say you can play Lamar naked. Like, if the weather's bad, I don't think they're going to throw a ton. It's the rushing upside that I'm chasing here for Lamar. I do like the Keaton Mitchell call. Like, you're just hoping for the home run. And he's 4,900, so I think it's absolutely viable to just chase that a little bit. We've seen long runs from this guy every time he's been given any sort of opportunities. So, totally, totally on board with Keaton Mitchell at 4,900. Likely at 3,500 is okay. Like, we haven't seen the same type of role even without Andrews as we saw from him last year, so a little concern there. But in play at 3,500, I'm not touching wide receivers in this spot. It's Lamar Jackson, and it's primarily rushing upside that I'm chasing.
Yeah, weather is good. If the weather just stays bad, it's the running game.
Yep.
Minnesota at Las Vegas. We go to the 4 o'clock games, and we get to some good games here. Starting with this one, 40.5 total here. Minnesota, 3-point favorite. Joshua Dobbs going to be a quarterback. Sounds like this shiny new toy for Joshua Dobbs named Justin Jefferson is going to play this week. I don't know if you guys have heard of him. He's really good at football. TJ Hawkinson. Dobbs is 5,900. I was really kind of hoping that we came into the week and after a bad game, we steal like 5,500. I think he's okay. I think Justin Jefferson is the guy, 8,500. Man, we've seen Joshua Dobbs in Arizona just pepper his guy. If Justin Jefferson comes out here and gets 13 targets against the Raiders defense, he's going to smash. I don't think they're bringing him back early. He was really close last or 2 weeks ago. They took a bye week.
Yep.
I think we see Minnesota bounce back in a big way here against the Raiders and Joshua Dobbs play a lot better.
Yeah, if Joshua Dobbs wouldn't have played like absolute crap in that game against Chicago, Justin Jefferson would be the highest owned player on the slate, and it would not even be close. If he's not going to be like mega chalk, I love this spot for him. Another indoor game. Like, Dobbs has shown capability to get receivers the ball. Like, he looked really bad his last game that we saw him. I get that. But man, this is a phenomenal spot. Las Vegas's defense has been playing better, but we're talking about Justin Jefferson here, the best wide receiver in the NFL. I don't think there's any debate about that. Like, he is so talented. He's 8,500. He should be 9,500. He's $1,000 too cheap. I know he doesn't have Kirk Cousins throwing him the ball anymore, but like you have to play some Justin Jefferson in this spot. Dobbs, he's capable enough to get him the ball, and that's really where it ends. Exposure beyond Justin Jefferson is a little bit more tricky. Like, obviously Addison's going to take a little bit of a back seat compared to the role that he's had. Like, you could argue that he's overpriced at 5,500. I don't know. He's a talented guy. I still don't hate shots on Jordan Addison at 5,500. And TJ Hawkinson is probably going to lose target share as well at 6K, but he's had the best role from the tight end position all season long since Jefferson has been out. So I think Hawkinson and Addison still have upside. If they're low owned, I don't hate shots on them. I think Dobbs is in play at 5,900. I know it's scary, like with the way he looked last time we saw him against Chicago, but I don't know. Indoors in Las Vegas on a slate that has a bunch of weather, I'm probably going to take some shots on Dobbs.
Yeah, I mean, I think Addison is priced appropriately. I think he's going to get some more, like he potentially is going to get more open looks here with Jefferson on the field. Like, he's going to get more one-on-one potential type plays. And he showed us early in the year, like, one-on-one, he can win those types of matchups. So I don't want to instantly write off Jordan Addison. Had he scored a touchdown in any of the last 4 games, he would have been a great producer. The touchdowns just aren't there. So Hawkinson has that touchdown upside. Dobbs is a great double stack, you know, and you run it back with Devontae Adams. and like call it a day. Let's go to the Raiders side of this game. Keith, I don't hate O'Connell. I just don't think he has a ceiling. So I really think it's like playing Dobbs for me and then like attacking Jacobs and Adams and Myers. What are your thoughts here on Las Vegas?
Yeah, I don't think that playing O'Connell is necessary. He just hasn't shown any sort of ceiling. And like, they're throwing the ball a decent amount in the last two games. Obviously, they were behind in those games against Kansas City and Miami, but I don't know. I don't think O'Connell has the upside. And the target tree is so condensed that you can just play as wide receivers and get the majority of the production. Totally agree that you run it back with Adams or Myers. I'm not sure how interested I am in Jacobs. Just been a really down season for him efficiency-wise. They were feeding him for a couple of weeks there and then went away from it a little bit. I don't know. I'm torn on Jacobs. $6,900 is a fair price. I don't trust the efficiency necessarily. I think I would much rather take shots on a guy like Adams or Myers.
Got a question in chat. Derek says, when people say double stack, do they mean two receivers with a quarterback? It could be a quarterback with a wide receiver and a tight end, a quarterback with two wide receivers, and then you could game stack with one wide receiver from the other side or two wide receivers from the other side if you really like the game and you think it's going to shoot out. But typically a double stack is going to give you a ceiling in a 35-point game. You're trying to get, you know, most of those touchdowns. So,
yeah, quarterback with two pass catchers is that'd be the definition of double stack for me.
Sometimes when you get into like situations like Kamara and Tampa Bay with White, you could say the running back. Barkley is like an option. Like you get those like heavily Christian McCaffrey, like Brock Purdy, Christian McCaffrey, Debo stacks absolutely smashed last week. So. Yep. I don't really have a ton to add here. I think Davante Adams is in a fantastic spot. I think we're going to see him get 10 plus targets. They're going to be trailing in this game. Don't sleep on Jacoby Myers. His role is not going anywhere. Continues to be very involved here. All right, moving on. We got Seattle at San Francisco, 46.5 total in this game. San Francisco, 10.5-point favorite. We'll go to Seattle first. Tough matchup. This defense is phenomenal for San Francisco, but they're going to be trailing. Let's just be honest. They're going to be trailing in this game. We saw DK Metcalf just finally have that game. Finally. It took forever. And it was like a Thursday night football game, so it was worse. What do you like here for Seattle?
Yeah, I struggled to get to the Seattle side here. The San Francisco defense just so good. They really put it to Philly, who I consider to be a top three team in the NFL as well. Like, San Francisco looks like, to me, the Super Bowl favorite. I haven't checked odds on that here recently, but San Francisco, when they're healthy, is a really tough team.
Do not underrate the speed of my Dolphins, okay?
Okay.
Don't underestimate the speed of my Dolphins. I'm just saying, I don't disagree with you. I think San Francisco is the Super Bowl favorite right now. But I'm just saying, the Dolphins – well, we got to beat a top team or two, but the Dolphins are fun to watch. A San Francisco Miami Super Bowl would be so much fun.
I'm on board with that. Let's
get it. All right.
Seattle offense in this spot, it's tough. Like I don't think I'm using Geno Smith. I don't think he has the upside. The running back situation is a disaster. If Walker's
really
out,
and Charbonnet, a running back against this defense, like even if Walker sits or in like Charbonnet is going to be the guy.
I mean, I don't think so. I would want the pass catching guy like generally in that situation. I just don't know that DJ Dallas has enough juice to play him. So probably not doing that. So Charbonnet at 5,400, I think, is the only conversation that we can have. And you're right, it's tough. It's like he hasn't been great. We saw him in the lead role against the San Francisco team, what was it, 2 weeks ago? Under 3.5 yards a carry, 4 targets out of the backfield, probably appropriately priced at 5,400. So, yeah, not a ton of interest there. I think you're just locking into one of these wide receivers and hoping – that you get the guy that catches 2 touchdowns or finds 10 receptions in a trailing game script. For me, like Jaxon Smith-Njigba's role is growing. I'm intrigued by that. 11 targets last time out. I think he might be my favorite over DK Metcalf, and then Lockett as third. But I think you're just picking out one of these wide receivers. We're going to have exposure to San Francisco, no doubt. So it's the three wide receivers for me. I think I'd rank up JSN, DK, and Lockett third.
Yeah, I mean, San Francisco is the number one team at pressuring the quarterback, and the Seattle pass block has not been great this year. So you're obviously a little bit worried about that. You're worried about the running back situation. But we're going to stop and pump the brakes really quick. We just watched Geno Smith absolutely light up a really good Dallas defense in Dallas. Now, these two teams just played, and San Francisco won that game 31-13. Geno had a terrible game. You have to also look at that factor here as well. I think if you want to stack with DK, Lockett, or GSN, sure. No one's gonna fault you there when you know, like, the upside is possible. But, again, the San Francisco defense is legit. Let's talk about this offense here. We saw Christian McCaffrey just absolutely destroy the Seattle team 2 weeks ago. Deebo Samuel against zone defenses coming off of a monster game. He did with touchdowns last week so much. So tilting. I was very underweight on Deebo Samuel. I was very overweight on Ayuk and Christian McCaffrey. And they didn't have bad games, but Samuel had a ceiling. I mean, anyone could go off here. If you think the game's going to stay close, Brock Purdy would be in play at 6,500. Christian McCaffrey, Deebo, Ayuk, Kittle. I would rank them McCaffrey, Deebo, Ayuk, Kittle this week.
Yeah, I think I agree with everything you just said, with more interest in Brock Purdy stacks. Like, he has just shown an ability to, like, it's his weapons. Brock Purdy is a decent NFL quarterback. He's far exceeding his draft position. He's way better than where he was drafted. There's no doubt about that. Is he a top 10 quarterback in the NFL? I'm not sure that we could even say that at this point. He's been, I think, a top 5 fantasy quarterback on the season. Like, he has shown massive ceiling, and it's because of his playmakers. So Brock Purdy at 6,500, very much in play for me. I'm totally on board that McCaffrey and Deebo are the top two here. Deebo against zone has been the thing, coming off a monster game. Like, they just throw it to Deebo at the line of scrimmage, and he just runs by everybody. He runs through everybody or by everybody. He is just so, so good. You have to have some exposure to that big playability. Ayuk is awesome. I think he's a better, like, just like pure receiver than Deebo, but it's Debo's big playability and run after the catch ability that you just have to have some of that in tournaments. And when he does that with Purdy at quarterback at these mid-range prices, like, they both get there. So you definitely want some Purdy Deebo stacks. You can play McCaffrey in the stack as well. He has the best role in the entire league. 9,200 against the Seattle defense is, I don't know, like, appropriate probably, but just that he has more ceiling than anybody at the position himself. So you definitely want to play McCaffrey. Because I'm getting overweight on those two guys, I probably end up a little bit underweight on Ayuk and Kittle. And both of those guys have massive big playability as well. It's a very difficult offense to figure out who's going to explode every week. Seattle plays one of the highest rates of zone in the entire league. So I'm leaning into the Deebo against zone stuff on that. And then McCaffrey and his role is the other reason that I'm going overweight on McCaffrey. Wouldn't try to talk anybody off of a pivot to Ayuk or Kittle, but I'm with you. It's CMC and it's Deebo for me.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And just so you know, I wasn't poo-pooing on Purdy. He's in my placeholder. He was the first guy in my placeholder this week. I think price, weather, everything considered, he's a phenomenal play this week.
Yeah.
I don't know if he ends up in my main lineup But, yeah, I like him. Let's talk about the game of the week, Buffalo at Kansas City. A lot of concerns about the Kansas City camp right now, just in general. And it's really weird. We're getting into the second week of December, and, like, Kansas City isn't a weather spot that we're worried about. It's just weird.
Yeah, that is weird.
Kansas City, 1.5-point favorite. Like I said, 48.5 total. Let's go to Buffalo first. Josh Allen is coming off of a big loss against Philadelphia where he put up 43 fantasy points. He ran the ball in for 2 touchdowns. He passed for 2 touchdowns. He's having a phenomenal season. Diggs hasn't had a big game, it feels like, since like week 5 or 6. This game screams shootout on every aspect outside of the fact that, like, both these defenses are solid. And you're hoping for a shootout here. I could see this game dudding for DFS, but I think you just got to be overweight on this game. As much as I don't typically want to be overweight on these types of situations, with the weather that we have and all the concerns that we have, I think you just had to be overweight on this game.
Yeah, I mean, I do have some reservations. Like, I
price,
think last
price
year,
matters.
Yeah, exactly. It's a very expensive game. And we had the same situation last week with Buffalo and Philly, and the game ended up getting there. I have the same type of reservations that I had on that game last week going into this week. Like, I think Josh Allen is a phenomenal play. I think it's going to be a tight game where both teams are comfortable passing a ton. So if I'm taking Allen or Mahomes, like, I like Allen's weapons better. So I'm in his rushing upside better as well. So I would lean to Josh Allen in that scenario. I don't know do I really need to pay up for Stephon Diggs? Like, Kansas City's defense has been really solid, like you said. I think I might try to save some money at the pass catchers. Play a guy like Dalton Kincaid instead of Stephon Diggs.
Like, we both have loved Kincaid. Dawson Knox coming back worry you at all?
Yes. I mean, it does. The touchdown equity is the main thing. I think the targets will still be there. But we did see early in the season when Knox was active, he had the red zone role over Kincaid. So it does concern me for upside a little bit. And that might be an argument to play Dawson Knox at 3K. And if he catches 2 touchdowns, I mean, you're cooking in that scenario.
Yeah, I didn't want to interrupt you. I was reading earlier that, like, Dawson Knox was, like, full practice Wednesday, which – in my head, concerned the crap out of me on Kincaid for touchdowns. Kincaid's still going to get a lot of slot work. They're still going to need him. They use him and Shakir out of the slot a lot. But it's just now Kincaid's 5,500. Like, if he's not, we're either spending up or spending down at tight end, I feel like, this week.
Yeah, I think those are fair points. I would be a little bit more concerned about the role for Shakir than I would be for Kincaid. Like, I feel like Kincaid is going to line up on the field next to Dawson Knox a lot, and that probably takes Shakir off the field. Like, I'd be concerned for Shakir's snap share for sure. I am concerned with Kincaid's touchdown equity at this point, like you mentioned, and maybe he's overpriced at 5,500 with that considered. So you make some valid points there. I'm not sure that I can allocate a ton of salary to this game when I think I prefer San Francisco over either of these teams is just where I'm at.
I think San Francisco has an easier matchup for sure.
Yep.
You just worry about Seattle keeping the game close. I think we're going to talk a lot about that Denver Chargers game here in a second too. I know I have a lot of interest in that game. So I wanted to throw out really quick too. James Cook is super interesting as a tournament pivot in this game. I mean, I think you could use him with Allen if you really wanted to. He's had a really consistent role. Had Josh Allen not taken all this guy's touchdowns, he would be a top 5 running back the last few weeks.
But Josh Allen always does that.
No, I know. I'm saying, like, you worry about that, or you worry about Latavius Murray coming in. But, like, if Cook gets that, like, 6-yard touchdown run finally, like, he's scoring 25-plus fantasy points, or has the upside to score 25-plus fantasy points. Kansas City's run defense still struggling. That's where you got to beat this team. You got to take the big chunks on the ground. And kind of one of the reasons I like Josh Allen so much this week is I think he's going to have to run the ball a little bit. Also, it really screams like a big game Gabe Davis type game. This is the type of game we saw with Philly last week. he always shows up in these big games, and he comes out of nowhere. You don't want to pay $5,800 for him, but I think this week you take some shots on Gabe Davis as well.
Yeah, I like the Gabe Davis call quite a bit. And I might even prefer him over Kincaid. Kincaid's the guy I threw out there first, just leaning into the tight end position a little bit. But I love the Gabe Davis call. I'm with you completely on that.
You know, it's been a long time since we've had a Patrick Mahomes ceiling game.
It has.
I mean, he...
His receivers aren't very good. That's the problem.
Yeah, he has one game over 30 fantasy points this year, and because he's Patrick Mahomes, he's not getting priced down. Could this be a game he has a ceiling game? Yeah, of course it can. You know, obviously we're watching the news on, like, Pacheco. He's banged up a little bit, dealing with a shoulder, got ejected in the game for swinging at somebody, dumb play. McKinnon's banged up right now, dealing with a groin. We're watching all this because, like, if one of these guys miss, maybe we could take some shots on Edwards-Helaire. But I think what we've realized over the last few weeks is, like, Rashee Rice is wide receiver number two here behind Travis Kelce. 5,400. I think I still prefer Allen over Mahomes, but I'm looking at, like, run back options. I think Rashee Rice, Travis Kelce would be my favorite run back options. Outside of that, it's wide receiver bingo. We thought it was going to be Justin Watson. He had zero targets against Green Bay last week. In a game they were trailing, losing, needing to throw, just not even involved. Not even involved. And, like, Tony, he had zero targets. Patrick Mahomes threw for 210 yards in a game they lost against Green Bay. It's wild to me. They got to bring somebody there to help this offense and pass catcher. Like this offseason, because I don't think they make a run in the Super Bowl, even with Patrick Mahomes, because they just don't have anybody besides Travis Kelce right now.
Yeah, I completely agree with everything you just said. Rashee Rice has separated himself amongst the wide receivers. If you can get to Travis Kelce as the run back, that's phenomenal. He clearly has the best role, the most upside in this offense. But Rice, as a pass catcher, has separated from everybody else in the room. MVS has his drop issues. Justin Watson is really just more of a deep threat who doesn't see the field enough. Like, Tony just isn't going to run a ton of routes. Maybe they scheme some stuff for him. Maybe they don't. Sky Moore just hasn't been able to get open. So it's very clearly Rashee Rice or Travis Kelce as the run back. The running back situation is difficult for me. Like, Pacheco is probably the guy, but he's 6,700. And if, like, Pacheco is definitely the guy if McKinnon is out again, just because I think that raises his receiving ceiling. If McKinnon is back, I don't even have a ton of interest in Pacheco, but for sure you play some Rashee Rice. For sure you play some Travis Kelce. I think that's about all I'm interested in here on the Kansas City side.
Yeah. I mean, I could see Travis Kelce going like 8 for 120 and a touchdown, which would be phenomenal at a tight end at this price point. I mean, Buffalo's going to obviously – I mean, you're at the point where, like, teams have just said, we're going to try to take Travis Kelce away. Yeah. I mean, that's what Green Bay did. They just sold out on Travis Kelce. He had two guys on him, like, that entire game. He still had 81 yards receiving on four catches because he's Travis Kelce and he's the best tight end in football. But, I mean, we're just not seeing games for Travis Kelce where we were earlier this year. Like, we just saw monster games and – teams have changed how they approach the Kansas City Chiefs because no one's stepping up. All right, we finish it out. Denver at LA taking on the Chargers. A lot of interest in this game for me. 43.5 total. Fantastic weather here in LA. 2.5-point favorites for the Chargers. We got two defenses that rank 31st and 28th in DVOA. Keith, I'm going to tell you right now, this game screams shootout to me. It screams shootout. If we get good play from Russell Wilson, Justin Herbert, I think we're going to see a big game from Justin Herbert here. If Russ can show up and play well and keep this game close, I think we're going to see a big game. Let's talk about Denver first. Chargers are really been struggling defensively. They're dealing with some injuries. They're struggling. They have been struggling all year. Is this a Russell Wilson week at 5,800 is my first question. Do we continue the Cortland Sutton like red zone roll, touchdown roll, just crushing type roll? consistent role? And do we like any of the running backs? I got a lot of questions I'm throwing at you this week.
Let me start with the running backs. I'm just not buying this situation. I don't think Javonte Williams has the same type of burst that he had before the injury. The efficiency has been pretty awful this season. The role looks okay. The Chargers run defense is not good, but I don't have any interest in Javonte Williams. And I think he picks up a little bit of ownership in this scenario. I'm probably underweight on Javonte Williams in this spot. The Courtland Sutton thing, I'm totally in on. I think that he is Russ's guy. He has the best role. He's getting the targets. He has the red zone role. Give me all the Courtland Sutton at 6,100. I think that's a perfectly fair price, even though it's a decent increase from last week. It's, can Russell Wilson be a little bit more efficient with him is the biggest concern. I'm concerned about Russell Wilson's ceiling, even in a great matchup. But I do feel confident in Courtland Sutton. I'm going to continue to keep taking shots on Jerry Jeudy. If he's under 5K, that price just jumps out to me. Yeah. 4,700, this is a first-round pick, a super talented guy, very productive in college. I cannot believe that Russell Wilson cannot find this guy for some production. I'm going to keep chasing Jerry Jeudy. If I'm playing both of them, I might as well throw them in a lineup together and use Russell Wilson. I don't love it, but I might as well do it. It's kind of like the pricing on them is attractive. It's a mid-range stack all the way across. I'm going to have some Russell Wilson again. I don't love it. I don't think he necessarily has a huge ceiling, but I'm in on Russ again this week.
I mean, we say that he doesn't have a huge ceiling, but this is a guy that has 8 or more rushing attempts in 4 of his last 5 games. He's been using his legs more. He's been scrambling. They're going to be trailing in this game. They went on a little bit of run right there, right? They won, was it 4 or 5 straight games? They got themselves back in contention. The Chiefs losing last week was huge for them because they ended up losing 2. They're back in it. And, Sean Payton is still the guy. We can't think that, Sean Payton's not going to go out and have a game script or here. And this is a huge divisional game. If the Broncos beat the Chargers in this game, it sets them up way better than the Chargers at that point. So I think it's going to be a competitive, high-scoring game with little defense play. I like Russ. I love the Jeudy call. He's too cheap. They finally got connected on one of those long balls last week. They had a 40-yard catch. It finally happened. We've been waiting for it for weeks. Jeudy scores a touchdown here. He crushes 4,700. So I like him as a 3-4 time X type guy. They don't use the tight ends. The running back situation is a mess. I'm with you. Williams, they're using Piron a little bit. They have McLaughlin. I can't touch a three-headed running back situation when I have 15 running backs that I like this week. there's a lot of good running back plays this week. I really think that this is a really good week for running backs. I don't have a ton of wide receiver plays, which I love when I have a lot of running back plays. Love spreading out my ownership at running back. Let's go to the other side of this game. I hate to say it, but I feel like this is a must-win game for the Chargers. They're 5-7. This is a divisional game. Same thing I was just talking about with the Broncos. This is week 14. It's not week 8. Hey, your record, it's okay. It's not great. It's not like this. I feel like if you want to have a chance to make the playoffs, you got to win this game. I think their odds go way, way down if they lose this game. So I feel like this is a week we play some Herbert, we play some Eckler, we play some Keenan Allen, and Denver has been awful against tight ends. If you trust playing either Everett or Parham, I don't trust playing either one of them, but if you could take some shots on Everett, I think in this spot, Denver, they've been atrocious against tight ends. So I have a ton of interest in the Chargers. They're going to be a team that I'm playing quite a bit this week.
Yes, I'm with you. I'm struggling on how to attack it. They've been awful against the run, but Austin Eckler as a runner has not been good at all this year. So I'm very concerned about that. Yeah, he's really cheap compared to where we're used to seeing Austin Eckler priced. And that's my biggest struggle of the week, I think, is what to do with Austin Eckler at 7,600. I trust him as a pass catcher. I just don't trust him to run the football. And that's how you have success against Denver. I think my favorite play in the game is Keenan Allen. I trust his role. he should run in from he'll run out of the slot quite a bit and hopefully avoid Surtain on the outside, who is
Surtain got hurt last week.
Good point. I haven't checked the injury report on Denver. Yeah. If he were to miss this game, then I have a ton of interest in Keenan Allen. But one of the true shutdown corners in the NFL, in my opinion. So yeah. Like he's like, I don't often consider cornerbacks when targeting wide receivers, but he is one that I pay attention to. But Keenan Allen's role has been so good. I'm still interested at 8,600, regardless of whether he's playing or not. And I trust Keenan Allen more than I do Austin Eckler at this point. So I'll probably end up playing some Eckler because he's just too cheap in a phenomenal matchup. But it's Keenan that I have more confidence in. I don't trust the other LA wide receivers either. Like, I don't think Quentin Johnston is very good yet. Like, I know he's got a decent role here, but he just hasn't shown the ability for any upside. He looks honestly like a little bit of a bust right now. Maybe that changes. Maybe he just needs to work on some things and that comes around, but I don't think he's there yet. Jalen Guyton, like, he's 3,200. You can take some shots and hope you catch a long touchdown, but that's not exciting either. So I'm struggling on this Chargers side. I like Keenan Allen a good amount. I want to like Austin Eckler, but I'm struggling with that a little bit. And kind of with you on the tight ends, like, I don't know that I can trust their roles either.
Yeah, I think if you're double stacking, it's probably like an Allen Everett, and you hope you get the Everett touchdown, Allen 30-point, just bonker game. I think Keenan Allen goes absolutely bonkers in this game. And yeah, I mean,
Keenan's my favorite play on the Chargers side by a good margin.
He might be one of my favorite wide receivers, like, overall on this slate. Yeah, I think I'm that, I mean, Chargers mentality, must-win game. I mean, this is a Keenan Allen game. And just a quick update on Patrick Surtain. Did not practice Wednesday dealing with that knee injury. So watch that. If he sits, huge upgrade. Yeah. Huge upgrade to Justin Herbert. Patrick Surtain's really good. Any final thoughts on this one?
No, I don't have anything else.
All right, morning grind game, and then we'll get out of here. Again, I have a bounce back week ahead of me. Terrible for me. Let's talk quarterback for 300 plus yards. Who do you got?
Give me Brock Purdy. Struggled against this Seattle pass defense. I think Seattle secondary is really good, but I think Brock Purdy is really good too, and his playmakers are even better.
It's been a long time since Herbert has had a 300 plus passing yard game, but I think we're going to see a big game this week from Keenan Allen and Justin Herbert. Low owned running back for a touchdown. We do not have ownership up yet. Who do you project to be low owned that you think is going to score a touchdown this week?
Are people going to be excited to play Chuba Hubbard because of the 25 carries last week?
The blitz has him under 5%.
Give me Chuba Hubbard.
Yeah, that was my answer. That's the only reason I knew that.
I mean, it's a role change. We don't often get role changes this late in the season, but they fired the coaching staff. This is a new coaching staff, new role. The role I saw from Chuba Hubbard looks amazing.
Yeah. Looking at the blitz projections for ownership, I'm going to go Joe Mixon for a touchdown this week. I like Cincinnati. I really hope the weather improves in that game. Quarterback, wide receiver, stack for a touchdown.
Give me, let me see. This was a long time ago. Give me Baker Mayfield to Mike Evans. Like, Evans' role has been incredible. Indoor game, not a lot of game environments to like. Atlanta defense been okay, but give me Baker to Mike.
I like it. I'm going to go Russ to Sutton because that has been hitting at a very high rate lately. I like that one. Wide receiver for 8-plus targets.
Jamar Chase. Jake Browning looked very capable. Jamar Chase, they changed his role. They went back to throwing it to him around the line of scrimmage. He's getting 8 targets in this game for sure.
Yeah, I love that call. I think he smashes. I don't want to go to Keenan Allen. I feel like that's a cheat code. This is kind of a cheat code, but I'm going to keep doing it. Give me Pittman here. I mean, every week, like, the Colts quietly playing really good football. Tight end for a touchdown this week.
Sticking with that Tampa Bay Atlanta game, give me Kate Otten. Atlanta's struggled against the tight end. They've been pretty decent on defense elsewhere.
Yeah, I don't hate that call. Gosh. Give me Cole Kmet for a touchdown this week. Detroit has been really bad against tight ends this year. I mean,
their defense the last couple of weeks has been very, their secondary in particular, been very suspect.
Yeah. Yep. Defense, 10 plus points. Who do you got?
I'm worried this is going to end up chalky, but this Cleveland defense at home is just in a phenomenal spot against CJ Beathard.
Yeah. Right now, the Blitz has the Falcons as the chalk defense. I think that's going to change.
Yeah. It's going to be Cleveland.
Yeah, I think Cleveland's going to be the chalk defense too. Man, I got to go Jets. I know like CJ Stroud has been phenomenal, but I feel like this is going to be one of a really big test for a young player. Bad weather, really good secondary. Yeah, give me the Jets defense this week. All right, let's go to the betting portion of the morning grind game against the spread or money line. What do you got?
I was shocked to open up spreads and see the Lions as only 3-point favorites against my Chicago Bears. The Lions are a much better team. I know they had an easy schedule to start the year, but this Bears team is not good. They've been playing better on defense. The Lions are winning by more than 3 against the Bears.
I like that. I already bet that. So I'm with you. I did some early week bets.
I expected to see that at like 5.5, like nearing a touchdown. 3 is just, that's not enough for the Lions. That's disrespectful.
Yeah, I took Detroit -3 and Tampa +3 as early week bets. I'm going to go back to the Colts here and say Indiana -1.5. As much as I like Jake Browning and the Cincinnati offense, I think the Colts are playing really good football right now, and I'm going to stick with the Colts. Over-under, what do you got for us on an over-under this week?
I'm on this Tampa Bay Atlanta game, just being in a dome. The total's only 39.5. I think they can go over that total. I'm going to have a lot of DFS exposure to it. I'm going to bet the over in that game too.
All right, 39.5. So I already bet this one, and it hasn't moved, so I'm going to talk about it. Denver, LA, Chargers, 43.5. I'm going over in that game. I think this game shoots out. It's two teams that this game matters so much for these two teams playoff-wise. We're in week 14. We have to start looking at playoff scenarios and like what games matter and which games don't. I think this game matters a ton, and I think we're going to see a really competitive, close football game. Let's go to a player prop. What do you got for us for a player prop this week?
Talked about the role change for Chuba Hubbard. I'm going to lean into that. The New Orleans rush defense has been really struggling here recently. Give me Chuba Hubbard over 47.5 rushing yards.
I've been waiting to bet this all day and it has not been up. if you see me looking at my phone, that's why I'm trying to see if it's up on Hard Rock. I no joke. I wrote this down in my notebook to make sure I get this bet in, and I'm making sure right now that I get this bet in. So I'm with you. It's 47.5. So that's what you did. Is that what you got as well? There you go.
Yep.
Over 47.5 for Hubbard. I'm going Drake London over 44.5 receiving yards in this game. I think it's too low. I also like his reception prop. It's 3.5. I think either way you want to take Drake London this week. They're going to have to throw the ball against Tampa. The run defense is solid. And Drake London is still the guy. So I'm going to go over 44.5 receiving yards for Drake London this week. Let's go to Prize Picks Underdog. Whatever, pick your poison for your pick'em side. What do you like?
I have Deebo Samuel more than 49.5 rushing yards, or receiving yards, rather. Deebo Samuel more than 49.5 receiving yards. Gets the zone defense, zone-heavy Seattle defense. I think he has a great chance to smash again this week.
I did this last week, and I like – did not search. We hit ours last week. Last week we had you took Tyreek over receiving yards, and I took Cortland Sutton over receiving yards, and we hit it. So yeah. Oh, and just in case you guys are curious, RG has Hubbard projected for 54 rushing yards. So I like that one a lot. All right, so my pick and play here. I'm trying to quickly. I had Hubbard, but I'm trying to find another one real quick. Is Wilson's passing prop up yet? No. Is it? Let's see. No. Right? No, it's not up yet. I have a whole bunch of stuff written down. I'm just trying to figure out, like, Jamar Chase's passing prop is not up yet either. Is Keenan Allen's receiving yards up? There it is. We're going Keenan Allen more than 86.5 receiving yards. So our two-pick play on Prize Picks this week for the Morning Grind game. Deebo, more than 49.5 receiving yards. Keenan Allen, more than 86.5. If you want to lock that in with us, we're going to do that over there on Prize Picks. We're sweating our NBA one from last night. We need Zubac to get one more rebound to get our 5 for 5. They corrected Vooch's rebounds to 12, so we got the over or more than 11 that we did on the nice. Morning Grind game last night. So we're one rebound from Zubac away from 10X from last night's Morning Grind basketball show. So we're back with basketball on Friday. Keith, any final thoughts before we get out of here?
No, I don't think I have anything else. Pay attention to the weather, obviously. As we get closer to Sunday, it's going to play a role this week.
Oh, we just got 8, so we should be good to go. Rebound. There you go. Thanks, Yeezy. Hope everyone has a fantastic Thursday. Don't watch the football game, or do if you like football. It's not going to be good. Have a great one. Watch NBA. The NBA in-season tournament is going to be so much better than the Thursday night football game. You're welcome for that recommendation. Have a good one, everyone. We'll see you again next week.